Hello out there, all you people on the go and multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on the prospective casting of a female James Bond. At first I thought it was a joke, but now, if it is, then include me in the list of those who believe gullible is not in the dictionary, in terms of having fallen for the prank hook, line, and sinker. Please note, past here there will be spoilers from some old Bond movies. Keep in mind, I thought Judi Dench was the best M the Bond franchise ever had. And I think that a flighty, science-enamored character like Elizabeth Henstridge's Gemma Simmons from Season 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Letitia Wright's hip teen prodigy Shuri from Black Panther would be absolutely adorable as a new Q. But a female James Bond? James Bond? What are they going to call her? Jamie Bond? Jane Bond? Janet? June? Jill? Jasmine? Jenny Joan? Jessica? Josephine? The actress they have in mind, Lashana Lynch, last seen in Captain Marvel as Danvers' best friend Maria Rambeau, seems a perfectly good candidate for an action-adventure movie, having acquitted herself with satisfaction in the Marvel Universe so far. It would be interesting to see her in an Atomic Blonde-type movie, for example. But when the vast majority of the attraction of the Bond movies, for the vast majority of the demographic audience that goes, is the bevy of beauties who follow, surround, bed, and attempt to kill 007, if you have a female Bond, how is that going to work? If she's a lesbian, that's going to attract an entirely different primary demographic than has been following the Bond franchise for 70 years. In short, the Bond franchise would be starting all over from square one, and given the money invested in this franchise, I don't know that that's a risk they're willing to take. So, assuming she is presented as either hetero or asexual, what will be the excuse for all the women who are an integral, if not, in some cases, the sole reason some people have for going to see this movie? I was willing to seriously consider a female Doctor Who, now played by Jodie Whittaker, and I'd hope for better, though I do not think it has worked out very well. And I am on record as having doubted the viability of a female superhero-led movie, but was delighted to be wrong when Wonder Woman, played by Gal Gadot, came along and have guarded optimism about the idea of a Black Widow played by Scarlett Johansson origin story. But those two succeeded and promised to succeed primarily on the strength of the actresses involved in the respective films. Both female protagonists are and were heroes who happen to be females, not females onto which they shoehorned the mantle of superhero as they did with Captain Marvel. Neither Wonder Woman nor Black Widow have chips on their shoulders against men, and both work with easy camaraderie with their fellow male counterparts, unlike Captain Marvel. My point being is that while I have an educated and experienced bias against the viability of females in traditionally male iconic roles, I am delighted when I am wrong, and I'm happy to admit it. However, it is frankly inconceivable to me what on earth they're going to do with a female Bond, given almost 70 years of set formula. Casino Royale was published in 1953. It was the first novel by Ian Fleming, and in 1962, Dr. No opened as the first Bond film. The formula established all the way back then would operate strongly against a female lead. I suppose one possibility is if this young woman was the fruit of one of the previous male 007's innumerable liaisons, but even then, I think it would be a gimmick that would only be viable for one movie, much like the smart, competent bride of James Bond in Her Majesty's Secret Service. As amazing as the Emma Peel Diana Riggs Tracy was, she would not have fit within the Bond franchise long-term and was an outlying one-trick pony. Tracy had to die for the Bond character to live. And I don't think it was a coincidence that this movie, Her Majesty's Secret Service, the outlier was the one and only Bond with George Lazenby. Bond in Love and Married was a construct against the tried and true formula which just did not work. Grafting a female child of James Bond would alter the chemistry and shape of the decade's successful pattern into something unrecognizable as a Bond movie. Another possibility is a new female Bond partnering with a male Bond, or perhaps even a junior male Bond in training. But then we're moving into the equivalent of the Marvel Universe's Ragnarok or Guardians of the Galaxy territory, wherein they plant their tongue far more obviously and firmly in their cheek than they did with even Roger Moore's unfortunately titled, well, let's just say it would be another way to describe an eight-armed cat. Honestly, I can view this with a certain amount of objectivity, as I have never been able to sit through an entire Bond movie, or Wagnerian opera for that matter, without dozing off at least once. Suffice it to say, I'm not a huge Bond fan, though I do find them fun to spectate in groups with male relatives and friends who, for one reason or another, seem to enjoy them a lot more than I do. I wish this young lady all the luck, but I am afraid that in their heightened enthusiasm for political correctness, they may have a James Bomb on their hands and have given themselves a license to fail. And, by the way, if anybody's asking and if they want my vote, it would be hands down for Idris Elba! And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at www.homeschoolmommoviemaven, that's MAVIN.com. And take it from a homeschool mom, education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from considering carefully the wisdom of messing with a successful formula for all the wrong reasons, and political correctness is about the wrongest reason you can use.